listening to WCNO Palm City.
Well, one thing that you'll notice if you're in a Moravian church on the Cocoa River is the women wear little lace doilies on top of their head.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that women should have their head covered. Okay? Now, I've been sitting on the window of the church building. When it's in the middle of July and it's 95 degrees and there's 100 people crowded into a small building, the coolest place.
Keep talking. I just want to make sure my skylight's closed in my car because it's raining outside. Yes, it's closed. Okay, good. Sorry about that.
The coolest place in those situations is sitting on the back window of the church because that's where the breeze is. And I've been sitting back there while the service is going on, and I've noticed women standing outside the church building, and they won't come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've motioned for them, and I've invited them to come in, but they tap their top of their head, and they point out that they're not wearing a head covering.
Oh.
And so they will not come into the church because 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that women should have their head covered. Why do you think Paul told those women in Corinth that they should have their head covered?
It was a little residual of him having been a Pharisee. I don't know.
Well, let's go to Corinth in the first century. What's going on in Corinth? Corinth is up in a isthmus in Greece that the Peloponnesian Peninsula is separated from the rest of Greece by this very thin 4-mile isthmus, and Corinth is on the north side of this isthmus. And if you're traveling by boat from Italy or the Tyrrhenian Sea or the Western Mediterranean, and you're going to Athens, then rather than sail around the very dangerous Peloponnesian Peninsula, you come up the calm waters of the Gulf of Corinth. And there people would take your boat and with logs and roll it across this isthmus, and now you would have just a very short journey to Athens. Now they have a canal that was cut there by the guys who made the Suez Canal, so you can just drive your boat right through. But Corinth became a sailor's town. I was a sailor for 10 years in the United States Navy. Corinth was
a fighter pilot, right?
Right, but I was also trained as a naval officer and spent time on ships. Corinth was also had a temple to the goddess Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Okay, and it's right at the top of the Acropolis in Corinth. And at that time, Paul went there. There were close to 1,000 temple prostitutes that were working, male and female. So if you wanted to worship the goddess of love in Corinth, you went up to the Acropolis and you had sex with one of the temple prostitutes.
You paid them for the sex. And the sex was pleasing to this.
Well, it's the goddess of love. This is how you worship the goddess of love. So Corinth was the sex capital of the ancient world. Think of Las Vegas, okay?
I don't want to think of it.
And it was a sailor's town because I can tell you when you're out at sea for weeks at a time and you come ashore, you're thirsty and you really are desiring female company. That's the way sailors are. So people came to Corinth for sex and Paul went there and started a church. Well, guess what happened? People started getting saved. Now, prostitutes in Corinth often had their heads shaved or their hair very, very closely cut. And my conclusion is that the reason that Paul told women in Corinth to cover their head was one of two reasons or a combination of both. In Greek culture, a woman's hair was considered to be the most alluring part of her beauty. Much more than the physical parts of her body. Her hair was the most sexual thing that you could show. Temple prostitutes, for some reason, had short hair because of their job and what they were doing. So for one of these reasons...
You would think they would have had longer hair.
I'm just trying to put two and two together. I'm trying to be in the room of...
Yeah.
The church and the congregation in Corinth when I received the letter from Paul. And I know that there's a lot of former prostitutes that are coming to our church meeting. And Paul probably does not want the outside community being confused that we are welcoming practicing prostitutes into the assembly of Christ, and that our morality is in fact different from what's going on in Corinth. So covering your head, if you're a prostitute and your hair is growing out, is going to be less confusing. Covering your beautiful, sexually alluring hair, and actually where that was perhaps the most sensuous thing, was also less alluring. So I think for these two reasons that Paul gave the commandment, women should have their head covered.
Mm.
And I've been to churches where all women are either wearing a hat or wearing a scarf.
Carries on till today, which is...
It does. And in the churches on the Cocoa River, if a woman is standing outside and won't come in because she doesn't have that little lace doily on her head, do you think Paul wrote that commandment to keep them out of church?
Mm-mm.
Well, I don't think he did. I think it was something that was totally culturally appropriate for Corinth at that moment. And so what's the principle behind what Paul was saying? Well, I think it's that when you come into a Christian meeting that you should be attired in a manner that's honoring to you and the people around you and not be reflective of the culture around you. Okay, and that's why Paul talks about women's modesty and being sober-minded regarding the way that you dress and the way that you attract attention to yourself. This goes on with what he wrote to Timothy about women dressing modestly.
Today's society, it's
right. So
it's really gotten bad.
So this is another example of...
They leave nothing to the imagination.
Right. This is an example of tattoos. Now we have head coverings, things that have been taken out of their context and applied to our culture.
Mm.
And so I told my friend Webb, no, as long as you're not putting marks on your body that are honoring and worshiping the dead... it's probably okay. Now, my son, Lucas, and my daughter, Michaela, I think they went together one day, and they got a tattoo on their wrist that was the INRI that was on the cross over Jesus' name, you know? And when they showed me that, it's a Christian symbol.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay. Then my son, after his grandmother died, got a very nice tattoo of her face on his right shoulder.
Wow.
And I thought, well done. So in my son's case, Lucas, he's honoring his Heavenly Father and his Savior and honoring his family, and his whole arm is basically family tattoos. Hmm. He's got my mom and dad right here on his bicep. These are strictly honoring God and honoring family. And so it's not in worship of the dead. So I think tattoos are okay.
Yeah, well, man becomes very tribal. This is what we do. We're all going to wear blue shirts and brown pants. And, you know, if you're part of the tribe, man is insecure and fearful, so they want everybody to be just like them. Look back in the 60s. We were conforming nonconformists. Oh, we're nonconformists. We all wore blue jeans. We all had bell-bottom blue jeans. We all wore, you know, we had beads around our neck. We were conforming to the nonconformity.
A nonconformance way, yeah.
It's crazy. But, well, but people feel secure with a tribe. This is the way we do it here. If you're a member of us, then, and we have to be careful about tribalism, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I think in our discussion regarding tattoos and head coverings, when you apply a practice from the Bible apart from the principle behind it, then there's a danger of becoming religious. And now we're doing things to possibly gain favor from God that have very little meaning, especially if not having a head cover excludes you from the house of God.
Humans do this too. I remember there was a famous musician. He's George Winston. I think he's dead now. He played this nouveau music that was very soft and, you know, anyway, the new age stuff. Anyway, he and I had a fabulous interview via telephone just before we had visuals. and gotten along perfectly. Now, when he came to town, all him and his long-haired friends were backstage. Now, remember, they have no idea that I was a long-haired hippie in the 60s, and I was 15 years of age and went to Woodstock. Well, when Barbara and I, who are sophisticated now, wearing my dress pants and a dress shirt, maybe even navy blue blazer, we went into the back behind stage, and George and all those people just, like, ignored us. They were prejudiced towards us because we didn't have the tie-dye shirts and the frumpy hair and the long beard anymore. And I saw discrimination in reverse.
Yeah. Well, when I was in high school, I had a friend that went to a church across the street from the Reynoldsburg Methodist Church where I went. At the time, I thought that the church was pretty much a social club with a lot of rules. And I was kind of a rule breaker back in those days. I didn't really want to conform to the rules.
A rebel without a cause.
I didn't have a cause. That's true. That's and so I had a
friend. Just because.
I had a friend named Jean that was, went to the church that was across the street from our church. So she invited me to come with her one day. And so I went, and one thing I noticed was there was no organ or piano up on the platform. And when the service started, a guy stood up and with a little pitch pipe kind of blew a tone, and then they started singing the hymns, and they were singing a cappella.
Acapella, yeah.
And I thought, wow, this is interesting. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Refreshing.
It's interesting. And so I asked Jean afterwards, I said, why does your church not have like a piano, organ, or guitars or anything? And she said, well, we're a New Testament church, and there is no mention in the New Testament the use of any instruments, and that's why we worship with our voices only.
Church of Christ, I think they call themselves, something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I thought, that's interesting, you know, because there is a verse in Ephesians and one, I think, in Colossians, but Ephesians 5:19 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
So I had to think about that for a while. And I remember, well, David used musical instruments, but I guess that was Old Testament.
The timbrel, you know, the drum.
Well, Psalm 108, David says, my heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing praises.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day. Take my